You're listening to a Peak Media production.
And now, coming to you from the Windy City, it's The Daily Dime with your host, Tim Keller.
Welcome everyone to this Tuesday edition of The Daily Dime. Today is May 6th. And we had a few more games in the NBA and the NHL playoffs last night, and some other news as well, so let's jump right into it. All right, so per usual, we will start off in the NBA, where we had Game 1 between the Knicks and the Celtics last night. The Knicks would end up winning 108-105 after going 0-4 against the Celtics in the regular season, and Boston had a huge lead in this one. They were up big at the half. They extended it to 20 midway through the third quarter. But the Knicks just kept chipping away. And then they started the fourth on an 8-0 run and eventually tied it to send the game to overtime. Then they had a great start to overtime with an old-fashioned three-point play from Ananobi, then a three from Bridges. That got them up 106-100, and that would be enough as they go on to win game one of the series. And really the biggest story in this one was the three-point shooting, especially for the Celtics. They took 60 threes and only made 15 of them, which is 25%, compared to 45% that the Knicks shot from three. And it was all your usual suspects for the Celtics that, you know, are typically great for them that really struggled from beyond the arc. Jaylen Brown was just 1-for-10. Tatum was just 4-for-15. Derek White was just 5-for-16, which isn't awful, but he still missed 11. And it wasn't good enough. And so obviously it just felt like they were settling a lot from beyond the arc, even on plays where like Tatum would get a switch and have Brunson on him, which you would think would be a mismatch, but it just felt like he just kept settling for deep shots and it was just not the answer. So the Knicks steal game one in a game that was very surprising to me. I really thought the Celtics would dominate the series and win probably in five games, which is still a possibility, but going to be a lot more difficult at this point. And yeah, the Knicks look great. And it's a resilient team. That's kind of what you get when you have Tibbs coaching, and they got a lot of tough guys. So not a super efficient night from anyone besides really Ananobi. He shot 50%, ended up with 29 points. He was 6-for-11 from three. But Brunson had a pretty typical game, 9-for-23. He had 29 points as well, but again, not as efficient. They also got 14 from Kat, 14 from Josh Hart. And yeah, they go up 1-0. So we'll see what happens in game two if Boston can bounce back on Wednesday. And then after that, we had the Nuggets and Thunder in game one of their series in Oklahoma City. And this one, I don't want to say it was like super similar, but the Thunder had a big lead just like Boston did, and Denver came back and ended up winning this one 121-119. And this was a crazy ending though. So Oklahoma City, like I said, they had a pretty big lead. They were up 11 with just 4.5 minutes left. Denver chipped away just like the Knicks did. And then they get it to within one, but OKC has the ball with 9 seconds left. They fouled Chet. So he goes to the line. He ends up missing both free throws. And so the Nuggets get the ball. They go down. And Russ had it. And it looked like it was a perfect time for like a Russ blunder. Like he's driving on the right wing. And it looks like he might just try and go force up a shot, you know, because a layup will get them there. So it looks like he might just try and take it to the rim. But he ends up kicking it out to the left to Aaron Gordon on the wing. He takes a three, even though they don't need it. And he makes it to go up 121-119, and obviously that was the final. So crazy, crazy ending in another shocking result to me. I really respect Denver as a team. I think they're awesome. I think Jokic is the best player in the league right now. Murray always seems to show up in the playoffs, and I love their depth. But I did not think they had a chance in game one. I just felt like they had no rest. They had a really tough series against the Clippers. Thunder had a ton of time off, which maybe that was too much, as we can kind of get into the rest versus rust argument. But I was not expecting them to win this game at all, even though I thought they'd be competitive in the series. And I think this is really scary if you're Oklahoma City. I still think they probably win maybe in 6 or 7, but not a great look for them in game one losing at home. So yeah, two pretty surprising results. You know, we've had three games in the second round so far, and the favorites have lost at home in all three of them. And I did see a tweet. I know I talked a little bit yesterday about Steph and kind of his like front running, and how I haven't given him a lot of credit for that. I've almost thought it takes a little bit more away from his legacy instead of adding to it. But I did see a tweet where someone said, like, you know, the Thunder and the Celtics both lost because their stars weren't great when they had a lead and they weren't able to hold it and they didn't do any front running. And I thought, you know what, that's actually a really good point. Like, I've given a lot of crap to Steph, but, you know, his team, they do win those games when they're up like that because he just puts it out of reach. And that didn't happen from either Tatum or Brown on the Celtics or SGA with the Thunder. And SGA, he's just kind of like Brunson. Like, just, it's not going to look bad in the box score, but, you know, not super efficient. He was 12 for 26, got 9 free throw attempts, which is pretty typical. So he still finished with 33 points. He had 10 rebounds, 8 assists. And I also think, like, I was thinking about this the other day, where, especially in the playoffs, as some of these guys are getting a lot more minutes, like, they're going to fill up the stat sheet, especially in rebounds and assists, just by, you know, playing more minutes. It sounds dumb, but so, like, nothing too shocking from him. But other than that, no one had a super great night for the Thunder. Jalen Williams was just 5 for 20 from the field. Chet only had 12 points. Hartenstein had 12 points. Dort had 14. They did get a pretty good game from Caruso off the bench. He had 20 points and made 5 threes, but he had just not enough to overcome the Nuggets. And Jokic was crazy in this one. He had 42 points on over 50% shooting, 22 rebounds, 6 assists. So even as I just made the point where you're going to fill up the box score if you're playing a lot of minutes, 22 rebounds is still insane. So great game from him. Aaron Gordon was really solid again. He had 22 points. Murray, not as great. He had 21, but on just 6 of 16 shooting. But yeah, Jokic was just incredible. And Russ played well again. He had another pretty efficient night, 18 points. And obviously that final assist to Aaron Gordon, that was the difference in this one. So yeah, kind of another shocking result, but here we are. So yeah, those were the games yesterday. Tonight we will have game 2 between the Pacers and the Cavs in Cleveland again. Cavs are 8.5-point favorites right now, but there were some reports about injuries to both DeAndre Hunter and obviously Garland still, and then Evan Mobley as well. And I'm not sure what their availability is going to be. So we'll see. I don't even know who's going to be playing for the Cavs tonight. And I would probably take the Pacers plus 8.5 at this point, especially after game 1, like the way that one turned out. So I hope that's not the case, but we'll see if some of those guys are even able to go. And then following that, we'll have game 1 between the Warriors and the Timberwolves. Timberwolves are 6.5-point favorites going into this one. And I kind of feel the same way that I felt about game 1 between the Nuggets and the Thunder, where the Warriors just had a really tough series. It went 7, super physical with the Rockets. And the Timberwolves have had a good amount of time off after beating the Lakers in 5. But after that result last night, I'm a little bit hesitant to say that I think the Warriors are going to get blown out. So we'll see how they handle it on the road up in Minnesota. I'm sure that place is going to be rocking. Ant will be ready to go. But if there's any team that is prepared for this, it's going to be the Warriors. They're kind of like the Nuggets, but, you know, even to another level, where their professionalism and the way their organizations are run, and they have a bunch of guys that have been there before, like, they'll probably be fine. So I think we'll get a good game in game 2 there. And then we also had some hockey yesterday. We had game 1 between the Maple Leafs and the Panthers in Toronto. And this was a super high-scoring game, but the Maple Leafs would end up winning 5-4 to take a 1-0 series lead. And then tonight we'll have 2 games, just like the NBA. We'll have game 1 between the Capitals and the Hurricanes in DC, and then we will have game 1 between the Knights and the Oilers in Vegas to follow that one. We also did have the NHL draft lottery last night, so we will run through the results of that really quick. So the Islanders ended up with the first overall pick as they won the lottery, followed by San Jose, Chicago, Utah, Nashville, Philly, Boston, Seattle, Buffalo, and Anaheim to round out the top 10. So those teams will have a head start on the offseason as we still progress through the remainder of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Aside from that, we had some other news in the NFL where the Ravens released kicker Justin Tucker amid a ton of allegations that he has. So we'll see how that ends up playing out from a legal perspective and if he ends up on another team. And then we also had some more positive news out of college football where Clemson and Notre Dame agreed to play for the next 12 years, I believe, starting in 2026, which is kind of interesting, I was thinking, because Notre Dame is kind of a de facto ACC team right now, which means they're pretty much playing Clemson almost every year regardless. So it was making me think, I wonder if we'll have some more restructuring and some more conference realignment, especially with Clemson, seeing if they can move. I've heard some rumors to the Big Ten even, which I think would be kind of crazy, or possibly the SEC. I know Notre Dame gets always rumored to go to the Big Ten, you know, being in the Midwest, everyone feels like it'd be a good fit, but I can't really see them leaving unless that there's some more drastic realignment, but just kind of food for thought, and we'll see how that eventually plays out as well. But at least we'll have some pretty solid games for 12 years there. So, but yeah, with that, we'll just about wrap it up for this Tuesday episode of The Daily Dime. As always, thank you for listening, and if you would, please consider following the show and rating 5 stars on Apple or Spotify or wherever else you may listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See ya.